turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We've spent quite a bit of time on this section where Paul is giving thanks for God's election. And one of the reasons why I feel like we should spend time on this passage is because a lot of people in churches today never hear messages about this subject. Now, that can't be said of Mount Pleasant. You've heard these truths for years and years, long before I ever came here. This church knew and believed these truths. But I believe in our day and age, we need to set forth what the Bible teaches, what the text teaches about the doctrine of election. Because it's a vital doctrine. It's an important doctrine. It's one that Paul said we ought to love. Now, we've covered the objects of God's election, the fact that we're the objects of His love and not the subjects of His wrath. Tonight we're going to look at the time of God's election. And if we have time, we're going to look at the results of God's election. Verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks alway to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. There is a phrase that says, God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. And that signifies that election is an eternal act of God that took place before the world began. God chose the elect in Christ before the world began, before the creation of this world, before the formation of Adam. God chose a people unto Himself before the mountains and the valleys were ever formed, before a bird ever flew in the heavens, before dew ever fell upon the earth. God pitched His love upon His people. He loved us with an everlasting love. He chose the elect when He dwelt alone in the solitude of eternity. Before there was anything that we identify with, what do we identify life with? Time, space, and matter. Before time existed as we know it, before space or matter, the physical world ever existed, God sat alone in the person of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And His love for us, and He was perfectly happy. God did not need anything to make Himself better. He's all glorious from infinity. But God was pleased to choose us in Christ with an everlasting love. And this truth is set forth all throughout the Bible. Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. It's interesting. Many times when the doctrine of election is stated clearly, I have loved you with an everlasting love, what follows that purpose of grace in election is the result. I have drawn thee with loving kindness. Election occurred when nothing existed, when there was only God before the world began. Effectual calling is when God calls us by the power of the Holy Spirit, gives us life, enables us to believe the gospel of the grace of God. Election has to do with eternity. the calling of God has to do with what happens in time. One deals with the eternal purpose of God. The other deals with the personal experience of salvation. When God fulfills the purpose of election, when He draws us. And it's interesting how those truths are set together throughout the Bible. Now, the Scriptures abound to prove that God chose the elect before the foundation of the world. The names of the elect were written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. That is clearly stated in Revelation chapter 13:8 and Revelation 17:8. Our names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There is no such thing as a new name written down in glory. You know, that's an old hymn people sang and they really put their hearts into it, but there is not a lot of truth in that song. There's a lot of songs that are that way. No, our names were written before the world began in the Lamb's Book of Life. Jesus is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. We were given to Christ to redeem before the world began. Ephesians 1:4. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Notice, not because we were, but that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Now, you can't get much clearer than that. Where it says, according as He, God, hath chosen us, marked us out before the foundation of the world, He set His love upon us, He set His affections upon us, He chose us out of all the people in all the world that would ever live. God determined to save a specific number of people. And it happens to be quite a few. It's not just us folks on Buffalo Creek. There's even some folks in Kentucky that God chose. And even in West Virginia. And even a few, believe it or not, in Michigan. Yeah. God's vessels of mercy were prepared in the mind and heart of God before the world began. Romans 9 and verse 23 says, and that He might make known the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy which He had afore prepared unto glory. God's purpose of grace to call the elect was formed in Christ before the world began. The Bible says, and this I remember years ago, Jim and Terry Evans had come from Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan to go to college in Cedarville. And we had started the mission work in Xenia. And how in the world they found us, I don't know. Because we didn't have a real nice building or anything. But they came and they started listening. And they said, well, I've never heard this. Jim Evans said, I don't see how this can be true. And I just said, well, let's sit down and see what the Bible says. And I just started going through the Bible, just like I'm doing tonight. Here's what it says about God choosing a people before the world began. And it was like he'd never seen these verses. Nobody had ever quoted them. Nobody had ever read them out loud. And God dealt with him, showed him and his wife the truth. They still stand and believe for this truth today. And that's been many, many years ago, back in the 80s. Who would ever say that the 80s is a long time ago? You know, now I do. You know, it's so strange to me. I see these old people. I run into old people and realize that I went to school with them. How did they get so old? And I'm still so young looking. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus when? Before the world began. The love that God has for His elect is the same kind of love, that eternal, infinite love that He has for His only begotten Son. I want you to turn to this passage because this is so important for you to see. It is in the high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to put this together as we read it. The Father loved the Son. Now, if the Father loves us like He loved His only begotten Son, because that's what John 17 clearly states, then it must mean that He loved us in the same way and at the same time that He loved His only begotten Son. The Father loved the Son before the foundation of the world, so He must have loved the elect before the world began. Now let's look at this. John 17, verse 23 and 24. Jesus is praying, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me. Here's this phrase, I've got it underlined. And hast loved them, the ones you gave me to redeem, as thou hast loved me. All right, look at this next verse. Father, I will. And by the way, the will of Christ is never thwarted. He is the infinite God. I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, when did He give them to the Son? Before the world began. We were chosen in Christ before the world began. Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given me be with me where I am. That is the will of Christ, and it's guaranteed that we are going to be with Him in glory. That they may behold my glory. One day, we are literally going to see the majesty, the excellency, the fullness of the glory of Jesus Christ. This prayer will be fulfilled beyond a shadow of a doubt. But now notice something here. He says, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. So what I did in my, I've got a Cambridge Wide Margin Bible. I took that last phrase in verse 23 and I underlined it. And hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Well, how did He love him? For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. I underlined that. And I put an arrow to each one, signifying that He loves us like He loves His only begotten Son from the foundation of the world. God's eternal love for the elect predetermined that they would be called, justified, and glorified in time. And Romans chapter 8, verse 29 and 30 is so clear on this. It says, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. And all of those chains, all of those links in the chain of redemption are in the past tense. Because in the mind of God, it's an accomplished fact that everyone He predestinated, every one of them are going to be called to grace. Every one of them are going to be justified by faith. every one of them are going to be glorified because God is behind it all. When you think about this, our hearts ought to be humbled before God. We sing that song, He included me from eternity. He loved us in spite of what He saw in us. God knew what you were in the depraved lump of Adam, in the fallen, depraved clay of Adam. But God determined to pick you out of that, put you in, and He chose you in Christ. And that love that He has, that's eternal, that's infinite, God never changes. That means His love has never decreased, it's never increased. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's an immutable love that never changes. The elect are the unworthy objects of the eternal, sovereign favor of God. Now, we have time. We want to look at the result of election. Again, election occurred before the foundation of the world. The result of it is the effectual call. God hath from the beginning, listen carefully, chosen you to salvation. There are people in the Philippines, and there people mistake this all over the place. Election is not salvation. It's not the gospel. Election is God's purpose of grace. Salvation happens in time. Election took place before the foundation of the world, but the salvation of God's elect takes place in time. Election is unto salvation, which means it had to precede the salvation experience. Therefore, election, the doctrine of election, is not salvation, but it is the cause of salvation. Men are delivered from their sins when they come to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, not when they were elected. That's before the world began. You weren't saved until you came to know Christ. Donald Trump was elected to the presidency before he was inducted to office. God's elect are chosen before the world began, but we're inducted into the office of being a saint in time by the effectual call of the Holy Spirit. We've already quoted Jeremiah 31:1, and you show it shows you the linkage, the cause and the effect. He loved us with an everlasting love, and on account of that, He has drawn us to Himself in loving kindness. God's eternal election is what ensures the salvation of all those that were chosen in Christ before the world began. I mean, everyone whose names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life will, without a doubt, come to salvation in time. I know that. I can guarantee it from the Word of God. So what about their will? What about all of these extra circumstances and all these different things that can happen? Don't worry about it. God has it all under control. He can make the most unwilling willing. You know my favorite one. Saul of Tarsus. There was not a more unwilling sinner in all the world. The guy had authoritative papers in his hand, which enabled he was going to have Christians imprisoned and killed for their faith. That was his will. He had no will to trust Christ, but God changed his will miraculously And in an instant he cried out, "Lord, what will you have me to do?" In submission. It's miraculous. All those that the Father gave to Christ to redeem before the foundation of the world will in time come to a saving knowledge of Christ. I quoted this verse today. I've quoted these verses so many times, I love them. John 6:37. All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me. And him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him which hath sent me. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. That destroys two doctrines. The idea of free will as the deciding factor in how people come to Christ, it destroys that. It also destroys this idea that somebody who is saved can somehow at a later time lose their salvation. That's heresy. Christ guarantees that he'll not lose a one of them that the Father gave him. He'll not lose one that he died for, that he shed his blood for, that he gave his life for, that he rose again for. Every single one of them. He's going to put the garments of salvation on them. He is going to clothe them with his righteousness. And in eternity, in glory, he's going to say, "Behold, I and the children which thou hast given me, every one of them are accounted for. I have not lost one." You see, Jesus is the good shepherd, which means that none of the sheep that the Father gave him will ever perish in their sins, but must be brought into salvation and then kept by the power of God. Jesus, in the great good shepherd passage of John chapter 10, he said, "And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring." Why? The Father gave them to me. I agreed to redeem them, to save them. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Because God purposed before the world began who would be saved in time, He knows exactly where all the elect are. At any given moment in earth's history, He knows where the elect are. In fact, let me go beyond that. He knows how many hairs are on each one of their heads. He knows where they are, who they are, what they're doing. He has determined a precise time in which He is going to call them by His grace. See, now, preacher, do you really believe that? Yeah. Think about this. It's why the Lord could tell Paul that he had much people in the city of Corinth who were going to respond to the gospel and be saved. Now, if it was up to man's free will and his cooperation, and if the apostles were preaching, "God's done all that He can do, I've done all that I can do, it's all up to you to choose Jesus," if they were preaching that, "and I'll give you $1 million if you can show me anywhere in the Bible that you ever saw anybody preaching that message." Nobody. Now, if you want to take that on, then you owe me $1 million. If it's not in there. But I'm not a betting man, so I'm not going to make that wager. But the fact of the matter is, here's what Paul told, or what God told Paul. Acts 18, verses 9 and 10. "Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, 'Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city.'" Now, I'm telling you what, it was one of the foulest cities of the ancient world. It was filled with filth and idolatry and ungodliness and impurity, but God had much people in that city that He was going to call. And if God did not know who was going to be saved, or if salvation was left up to man's mythical free will, there's no way God could have ever said anything like that to Paul. God's eternal election makes the salvation of some absolutely certain. Everyone who God determined to clothe with the garments of salvation will in time be justified and clothed with the spotless righteousness of Christ. And to me, it's reasonable. It's logical. How much better to believe this blessed truth than to trust in man's fickle free will, which is fallen and fickle, and that ensures, it does not ensure the salvation of absolutely anyone if it's left up to man. I believe that we can preach with confidence and boldness, knowing that God will save sinners because of His eternal purpose, and His own glory is at stake. And that's why the Holy Spirit prompted Paul to say, "Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." 2 Timothy 2:10. So tonight, we've covered two major points of this doctrine: the time of election before the world began, and the result of election. It's the absolute salvation of all that the Father chose in Christ. We're going to get on to another part next week, and it's going to be good. Let's all stand.